I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Welcome, everybody, to Soul School Lesson 31, Identity. Today on Soul School, I wanted to say thank you for everybody who's come along and helped collaborate with me in this new part, in this May month of 2016. I've invited you to weigh in, to partner with me with Soul School and Spark My Muse, and some of you have taken me up on that. So when you sponsor the show at patreon.com/sparkmymuse at $1 a month or higher, you get in on some extras and some goodies and all kinds of things I put up there for sponsors. But also what's happening from now on is that you're going to help me decide the direction of the show. Help me pick diverse voices to have on the show, help me decide which directions I'm going to be going in. And I'm going to be putting up a lot more things for you to decide. So when you go to Patreon this time, you're going to find some questions to answer, and you can leave your comments there for me to read, and I will take your input seriously and try to incorporate it when I can in future episodes. So this is for $1 a month. You get to weigh in. And I appreciate that very much. This collaborative part is something I'm going to try to identify with Spark My Muse. And that's really because I am a collaborative person, and I've realized this about myself. The idea of platforms, this buzzword that came around maybe 5 to 10 years ago, all you would ever hear is platform, platform, platform. And back when I had about 15 publishers interested in a book I was writing in about 2006, that was the one thing you had to prove you had. You had to prove you had platform. How many eyeballs could you get to read your book? How many connections did you have? Did you have speaking gigs? Did you have a radio show? Did you have a blog? What kind of platform did you have? And while I had a small platform and I had some connections, that whole idea of self-promotion seemed anathema to book writing. And it does for a lot of authors, and they're maybe more introverts and quieter types of people, and they feel like platform's the opposite of what they're doing when they're writing. And you hear this a lot, oh, I'm really not into that side. And then other people fully embrace it, and that's just the business side of writing. I'm fine with it, and I don't mind selling myself. And really, my undergraduate was in advertising and graphic design, and so I know the marketing end of things, and it's not that it's not familiar to me. I know how to market things, I know how to sell things. But in terms of what is a good fit for me and what gets me energized, it's not being the sage on the stage that gets me energized. I can do it, but what really gets me energized is bouncing off ideas on to other people and having their ideas bounce off me, and that back and forth and that synergy that happens. That's really what gets me excited. That's really what gets me going. That's why these interviews and interactions are so fun to do on the podcast. That's why I don't just monologue every week, blathering on to you on Soul School every single week. I love the guest interviews, and I love understanding how other people's brains work and where they come up with their ideas and what they're up to. It gives me great joy to interact with people. And that's why interacting with my supporters and my listeners and the people who are interested in the show is a really exciting prospect. And so I hope you'll come along and partner at the lowest level at $1 a month, or there's high levels too. And if you're Mr. or Miss or Ms. Moneybags and you have some money to spare, I want to have a really high end retreat for those who are interested in and have the means to do a kind of retreat with me in 2017. And I'll reveal more of that later. If you're at a higher level of sponsorship, I have a really exciting prospect to do a more of a high-end retreat where we do some deep work and we do some really exciting things. But that will come in another year. For now, I wanted to talk a little bit about identity and coming into your own identity. But first, I want to back up and just talk about identity as something we don't tend to think about, which is identity isn't us. It's something that we put on. something that we acquire, but it isn't something that is actually infused with what we are, who we are. And so we come into the world, as you all know, and you can remember, you come into the world and you're a kid and your family is your tribe, and you realize that you have maybe a mother, or maybe a mother and a father, or maybe a grandparent raising you, and you're part of this group. And later on, you have friends and they're your tribe. I have a daughter now who's in middle school, and this is where you get all the cliques. And maybe you remember being in middle school or high school, and you have the band kids, and then you have the jock sports kids, and then you have the brainy kids, and then you have the kind of the druggy kids who don't care about school or whatever. And there's all kinds of different sorts of cliques, and perhaps every school has a little bit of a different setup. But what's happening in this period of time, of course, is that everybody's trying to figure out who they are and where they belong and what is their identity. And they're trying on different identities as they go, and they're trying them on like clothing. Is this one me? Is this one me? I don't know. I have friends in different groups. This can be just angst-filled time. But sometimes it never really goes away. And people don't know in a way who they are. Sometimes their whole lives, sometimes they're trying different things. And sometimes people feel that they haven't been able to be their true self. It's only been maybe in adulthood when they feel like they could leave certain expectations of themselves behind. Maybe it's a gender thing, or maybe it's a belief thing. Whatever it is, they've been searching and searching for their true selves the whole time and never felt the freedom to step into their true identity. But I think backing up away from what's going on to a more objective place, not that that's entirely possible, but thinking about how the brain actually works and how we're geared as social mammals, social primates, is actually a healthier and better way to try to understand what identity is than from actually how we're experiencing it. So if we think about identity as this thing we're actually trying on our whole lives, we can realize that identity is actually more of a construct than actually reality and finding our true selves. At the same time, we can realize that identity is still really important and finding our tribe and our group is still very important. However, it's not the end-all be-all of who we are. People do this in sports all the time. They have these surrogates for identity when they don't have sometimes a full sense of who they are. I'll use myself as an example. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I get really excited about the Steelers winning and losing. Obviously, I want them to win. Now, if someone were to make some terrible crack about the Steelers, I like the Steelers, but I don't feel personally offended when people say something mean about them, or, you know, call Ben Roethlisberger a rapist or something. I think, okay, that's strange, but I'm not personally affected. They're not my relatives or something. They're not my actual tribe. I just like watching football. And yeah, I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I really do like the Steelers, and I really have watched all the Super Bowls, and I tune in when they're playing. But I know that that's a surrogate identity, being a Steeler fan. And yeah, I have some clothing with Steeler emblems and I get into it. But I also realize that it's a false identity and it's not something I truly think is part of me. I could separate it. Now, this can happen in all sorts of ways. Sports teams is a great example because it's very tribal. But most people aren't going to have a complete freak out meltdown if their team is insulted. They'll kind of realize that they're actually not on the team. But even if they were on the team, they could still maybe realize that, yeah, I'm on the team and I get paid to do this, but it's not actually who I am. One day I won't be on the team anymore. One day I'll just go back to being a human person and I'll just get along in life. And it's not actually me. It's just something I'm doing. And yeah, it's a great big part of my life and I love it, but there's maybe something more to me than just this identification. And so when we back off identity objectively and we realize how social we are and how much we grab onto these surrogates for belonging and meaning and feeling special and feeling unique and feeling wanted, feeling appreciated, we realize that that construct really crumbles and sometimes very quickly. So if we think, oh, I'm an artist, I'm a musician. I mean, think about your Twitter profile or something. People are usually like, here's who I am. And they will say all these descriptive words of their identity, usually. You know, a father, I'm a mother, I'm a vegan. And they'll say these things, and these are identifiers. Nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly fine. But they might hold these things really, really tightly. They might really defend them almost to death. This thing about identity is just, it's good to keep it in perspective in terms of who do we want to be in the world? Ultimately, our identity and our belonging has to come, hopefully, from a much deeper, deeper source, much deeper, deeper place. And it can't be sourced in anything temporal or external or something that could actually fade away. And really, then you are coming down to a source type of thing, and hopefully love itself. And in the end, when everything else is gone, right? St. Paul says, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And that's where we find our identity. And that's all that matters. And that might seem simplistic or silly or woo-woo or something, but if you really break it down and you really think of it objectively, belonging and love, and this kind of love that it's sourced in the source, and you find your value there, you find your own self-acceptance based in this core identity of who you are, not in anything external or surrogates, or even whether a tribe accepts you or not. You come to this homecoming. I've talked about homecoming in previous episodes, but there is something going on there, this ultimate reality, this thing under everything else. And once you've connected with it, as I feel that I have, you realize that this is the grounding, this is the ground of our being. And the other identities, while they're fine to identify with, they will ultimately fail. They are ultimately constructs. And as important as they can be for a time, we can't put all our faith and trust in them, because they will ultimately fail us. If your ultimate identity is as a musician, and then you suddenly lose your ability to create music, doesn't mean everything's lost, right? And so my homework for you today in Soul School, as I do, I make homework for you each week, something to ruminate on and think on, is to realize all the ways that you have identified yourself and be thankful for those ways, and maybe cast some of those ways off. And be fine with the ways you've identified yourself, but then back off of them somewhat and realize you have a core identity in love itself, and it doesn't matter about the rest of them as much as you've thought. And then just live there for a little bit. Just rest in that spot and rest there with great gratitude, because you are human and you are you, and that core thing won't go away. I wish you blessing, and I wish you peace. Join me next Wednesday for another Soul School lesson.